Hi, this is Vision Destiny 2019, session 8, in which I will be sharing my 2018 journals. I'll be doing that sequentially as God spoke them to me. And these things will include what God said and did in 2018. What does that mean for 2019? What does God want to reveal and unveil to us in 2019? What does God want us to do? Where does he want us to go? Where does he want to take us in 2019 to mature us in sonship as our dad, who only wants the best for us? As we embrace that, we'll find that we'll come into a deeper revelation, deep calling to deep, calling to our hearts, calling deeper into us and calling us to come deeper into him. Again, please don't believe anything I say just because I say it. If you resonate with anything, please take that back to God and get personal, firsthand revelation of that. If you disagree or anything, if you object strongly, then go back to God and ask him why. Perhaps I might be wrong. Perhaps God is wanting to challenge some of the belief systems that you might have. I can only share information about my revelation that's come through my personal encounters and experiences. I'm not sharing with you theory. I'm just sharing what God said, my response to how I reacted to that. But only by engaging God for yourselves can you have revelation, not information. And that is true of every sermon, every book, and everything else you've ever read. That's information, which can be good information or bad information, but you're only going to know the truth of that information so it becomes revelation to you and life-changing if you embrace it for yourself. And you can only embrace it yourself by engaging God for yourselves. We all need to know the truth. And that know means to know by personal experience, not intellectual knowledge. Love is my plumb line for truth. Now, this wasn't the case. The Bible used to be my plumb line for truth. But as I've discovered that God is love, that everything God does is motivated and is in essence coming out of the fact that he is love, then now love has become that plumb line, which I weigh my experiences, what I believe God is saying, my reactions, and align them to. God actually said to me, if it's not unconditional love, it's not me. If it is love, it is me. Love must be unconditional and otherly, in other words, expressed to others unconditionally, otherwise it's not love at all. Francois Dutoit basically gave this little statement the other day. Don't tell people how lost they are, which is how generally we present the good news to them. Not such good news, I don't believe. Show them how loved they are. Now, we can only show them how loved they are if we know how loved we are. It's by our love for one another, because he first loved us, which will be the demonstration that the world is looking for to know who God really is. Now, I met Esther, one of the Cloud of Witnesses, a number of times during 2018. She showed up in some of the conferences I was doing. She came into our meetings here on a Sunday, and even she was observing and watching in some of the things I did overseas. When one of the Cloud of Witnesses engages us, it is usually with a purpose or on an assignment from God. And sometimes they resonate or they relate to where we are and what we're doing, and they want to participate in that and support and encourage us in that. And sometimes God sends them on assignment. One of these, I believe, was God's assignment. Esther 2:17, the king loved Esther. Now think of this for you. The king loves you more than all the other women. Now, this is in relationship, obviously, to the physical, with the physical king. But actually, he loves you, let's say, as much as everyone else. And that is amazing love. And she found favor and kindness with him. Now, God wants us, as our Father, to find favor and kindness. That's who he is. A God who's highly blessed and favored us in his relationship with us, so that he set the royal crown on her head. And God wants to crown us as a royal priesthood within the realms of heaven, find our place where we're seated in heavenly realms. Esther 4:14, who knows whether you have not attained royalty, or another version says, come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I believe actually, all of us have. All of us have been appointed for this generation that we're in, for such a time as this. We're all called as royalty to the kingdom. with the favor of the king on us, but there needs to be a surrender or succession of the old DIY life. And in the story, Esther succeeded Vashti. Now, illustratively, that in our own life, we need to surrender doing things our own way, to surrendering into the relationship where we're only going to do what we see the Father doing in that oneness of relationship that Jesus modeled while he was here. The sons of God are called for this time to mature and engage in kingship, our authority seated in the heavenly places. So Esther came and visited us early in the year to remind us that we are called for a time such as this. Sometimes with all the things that are going on in life, we can miss how significant we are within the purposes of God as his children and get caught up in the mundane issues of life and the crises of life and miss out on the reality of who we are. We are all significant in God's heart relationally, and he desires our involvement in the restoration of all things, which is a passion of his heart. So I sought Esther out and talked with her in heaven, and this is what she said. I was unprepared despite all the attention of the court. It was not until I was placed in the position to step out into my destiny in God that I truly discovered who I was within God's kingdom and what I was capable of. Most of us are like this. We don't think the way God thinks about us. We don't believe what God believes about us, and therefore we operate in a less than kind of way. And Esther was no different. And in spite of the fact that she was prepared with perfumes and everything to beautify her and make her ready for the king, she didn't realize the bigger intention of what was behind that. She was going to save a nation. So she didn't think she was capable of that. No one will ever be ready until they're in the position that will test their hearts and motives and the levels of trust that they will need. Allowing people to try, fail, and try again is what God has done with you. So release the same grace to others. I did not see the process as something to be desired or wanted. Neither did I think of it as a good thing. Now, Esther was taken to be made part of the harem of a king. That must have created all sorts of tensions and fear. Remember, she was a Hebrew. She was an Israelite. That was not something that they were supposed to do. So this was a tension, and she couldn't see the purpose in it. Therefore, what she was saying is she struggled to accept that and therefore didn't really cooperate with it, in her own mind, at least. The outcome was not what I was expecting. Many people don't recognize their own destiny until they are in the midst of it. Now, this is Esther's wisdom. So following this conversation with Esther, I went to see the father to talk to him about what had been said. And the father said this, "Son, use the environment of Sons Arise and the Engaging God program teachings to accelerate the processes of my children being prepared for their sonship positions." So within this teaching and within the program, essentially based within it is transformation. The need for transformation, the need for preparation, the need for us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we will begin to know the truth of who we really are. And we won't be limited by the restrictions that have been put on us by our upbringing or perhaps even by the religious systems that we've been part of. But we will truly start to believe the reality of who God calls us to be, who he has made us to be, who he has appointed us to be, and embrace that. And in those teachings, we've done about the dark cloud and separating soul and spirit. We've done so many things about cleansing the gateways and outworking what God has already done for us so we will know the truth rather than be in bondage to the lies that we perhaps may have believed about ourselves from the past. Let me call people beyond their present expectations and take them out of the comfort of their boats into the uncharted waters where they will learn to swim without aids. Sometimes God does drop us in at the deep end. That was true with Esther. It will be true with us many times. I will stretch my children beyond if you will provide the environment where they're safe to explore. And I believe some of the material we put out is looking to encourage people not just to be stuck with their previous religious beliefs, but to see that they're in a process of renewal of their mind so they will truly begin to believe the truth about who God is, and therefore about who they are. Esther went through a process of purification to prepare her to engage the king. Jesus has already made us righteous, therefore worthy to access the king. But if we don't believe it, then we won't engage it. Our process that we go through in preparation is to experience, to know and believe that we are worthy already, that that is who we are. We don't have to do something. We're not under the law. We don't have to fulfill obligations or duties to make ourselves worthy. He has made us worthy. He sees us as righteous. We need to start believing what he believes. Do we believe it? Or do we still believe the lies that make us less than? And it's so important in this process that we begin to fully know the truth, the reality of who we really are and the power of that reality that we have as sons of God to begin to operate in heaven and on earth and to begin to create reality which will align heaven to earth. So that heaven is the manifestation on earth that the kingdom as it is in heaven will come onto the earth. It's so important that we embrace that. Now, love is so central to this because God is love and God wants us to embrace the reality of love. It is love which is going to enable us to fully come into the reality. So Song of Solomon 8:6-7, I love this two scriptures. Put me like a seal over your heart. Now, here is the relationship. Here is the relationship, the heart, the motives, the desires, the intimacy, and a seal over the arm, the outworking, what we do. Everything should be based in love. For love is strong as death. Now, we know that Jesus demonstrated his love as being stronger than death because he overcame death and was resurrected back to life because the love that he has is unquenchable and could not be overcome by death. Jealousy as severe as Sheol or the grave. And actually, God's jealousy for his children is more powerful than the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire. Now here, love and fire start to get connected. The very flame of the Lord, in fact, our God is a consuming fire. Now, that's not real flames, but it's a representation of what fire does and what flames do. They purify and they refine. Many waters cannot quench love. Waters cannot extinguish the flame of God, the love of God. His love will never fail, nor will rivers overflow it. If a man were to give all the riches of his house for love, it will be utterly despised. We cannot buy love. We cannot purchase love. We cannot blackmail or bribe God with our love or with our lives. He loves us unconditionally, whether we love him or not. And then the sooner we get and embrace that, the sooner we'll be free from the religious doctrines of living under the law, even when we're living in an age of grace in the new covenant. So Isaiah 60:1-3, arise, shine, your light has come, is also talking about that expression of love, because it's love that's actually what we're shining and radiating. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to the light and kings to the brightness of your rising. What is that brightness? What is our rising? What is going to lift us up? Love. The demonstration of love's light. The light of love truly being demonstrated into this world in which we live. Love is such a central key to the whole nature and character of God. Matthew 5:43, you have heard that it was said, you love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, this was a misrepresentation of their traditional interpretation of what the old covenant law statement said. Now, Jesus came to undo those misunderstandings and misrepresentations and bring truth. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, this was a total challenge to everything that they've been taught. That's what Jesus did. He turned their world upside down so that you may be sons of your Father. So if we love everybody like God loves everyone, and this is the implication here, God loves everyone unconditionally. He doesn't just love Jews. He doesn't just love Christians. He loves the world. He loves everything of creation that he's created. And if we're going to be like our Father and we're going to be sons in our sonship, then love must be the key that we use in everything that we do. It must be the motivation of our heart. It must be how we express that reality. Everything must be motivated and demonstrating love. So how did the Father demonstrate that love? This is what it says. Who is in heaven? For he causes his son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. In other words, he treats everyone the same. He loves everyone unconditionally, treats everyone the same, does not withhold things from people because they don't love him. He treats those who love him and those who don't love him the same. And what is his desire? To bring good out of every situation in their lives so that they would come into a full revelation and understanding by experience that love. He wants us to know him and he wants us to experience him being love and all that that means, that reality. So in John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you. Now don't read this under an old covenant lens. Don't read this as the law that you have to fulfill or else. Read this as an encouragement that comes out of relationship. Remember, he had just spent years with them. He had demonstrated love to them. So here's what he actually was saying. A new command I give you, that you love one another. Now, not you better love one another or else, or try to love one another with a love which you don't have, but love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So as we receive love, then we can give love. Not under obligation or duty, oh, I suppose I better love anyone, I'll try my hardest, but with the passion and desire that comes of knowing we're loved. This is why deception keeps people from the knowledge of God's love and keeps people trying to earn God's love by what they do, performance-orientated religion. Now, what is the reality of our love demonstrated, the light shining, if you like? By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Love is the characteristics that should demonstrate to the world that this is something different than anything else. John 15 continues this thought. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Now, this is a key. Just as I have loved you. Not try and love one another in the world's standard of love, but love one another in this pure expression of the nature and character of God himself. And of course, John was called the apostle of love. He had his head on Jesus's breast. There was something about the intimacy that he had with Jesus that caused him to write a gospel which was very different from the other three gospels, in which love was central to it. And then when he wrote his epistles, he expressed this, 1 John 4:1, Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, not ought as our duty, but actually as a only expression of being loved is to love. If we're not loving, then don't really know love. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his perfect love is perfected in us. Now, this doesn't mean that no one has seen God in reality, because lots of people within the Bible have seen God. But the reality is, if we don't love one another, it is a revelation that we really don't know God at all. So God is revealing himself in our day in a way which is expressing the reality of who he really is, expressing the reality of that love in a way which is so much deeper than I ever thought was possible. If we love one another, God abides in us. Now here is the relationship. Love is in us. It is God's love in us that enables us to love one another. And his love is perfected in us. That begins to transform and change us and bring us into the mature state of sonship, which is all based about love. 1 John 4:16, we have come to know, so to know by experience, and therefore believed. You see, people believe when they experience. We've asked people to believe without any experience, and that's not the reality of what happened in the Bible, for sure. Everyone experienced, and then they believed. God spoke, and that caused them to believe. Jesus was with his disciples, that caused them to believe. So we have come to know and believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So if we're living in this experience of love, then we're knowing what it is to dwell in love, the fact that God's love dwells in us and we dwell in God who is love. Now that's an amazing reality that God wants to bring us in to. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment. So if God is love and perfect love casts out fear, therefore there is no punishment attached to love. And therefore our method of preaching the gospel as you will be punished forever, eternally, consciously in torment if you do not love God, cannot be motivated or coming out of God himself. It's a man-made invention and a doctrine which has veiled the reality of God as love to a world who desperately needs him. The one who fears is not perfected in love, which means if we still have fears in our life about God and life and everything else, it means we've not yet fully appreciated how much God loves us and what God love really means. We love because he first loved us. That is the only way we can love. Truly love. Now, I'm not talking about brotherly love or erotic love or any of that sort of worldly manifestations that we call love, but true agape love, the true love, which is actually the God himself. We love because we have experienced the love of God. He loves us and that is unconditionally expressed to us. And therefore, we should be unconditionally expressing that love to one another. There is no fear in love. There is no punishment in love. Therefore, there is no punishment in God. Now, as a result of this, you know, this has changed my whole perception of God himself. And God wants us to engage the world in such a way that the world begins to experience something more of him. And he took me onto a different theme. And here he's talking about spiritual dynamics. Son, seek for the strategy that will take possession of the spheres in three areas. This is governmental spheres. The kingdom of God, which is a realm of heaven, the earth, and the atmosphere. Now, when the kingdom of God and the earth come into agreement and alignment, and there is an arc of agreement, that opens a portal to be able to deal with the atmosphere. We've tried to deal with the atmosphere without ever being in the kingdom of God realm in heaven and bringing that heaven onto the earth. So engage the true assigned principalities, powers and rulers and build a working relationship with them for cooperation. The atmosphere may be populated by beings that are taking up the positions and powers as rulers, but actually God has assigned true principalities, powers, angelic beings to work with us and we to work with them. Form an arc between heaven and earth, expand your tent pegs, then clear the atmosphere by pushing it outwards. So we need to have on earth that which is a representation of heaven. New order ecclesias, embassies of heaven, cities of refuge, whatever you want to call them, places where we are not living under the influence of the atmosphere, but we live under an open heaven. And then we expand that open heaven outwards because we extend and expand our tent pegs by taking more and more ground. Begin to sequentially clear the everlasting doors of any kings and giants, then open them sequentially when you have taken ground and a castrapona is formed. Now, a castrapona is a Roman term for what they did when they conquered a land. They set up an administrative base representing Rome to effectively assimilate the population of that land and make them Roman. So they carried the pure influence of Rome, of what it was to be Roman. We should be a pure influence of heaven to show the world and to assimilate them into heaven's position on earth, in which they're going to be loved, they're going to be blessed, they're going to be empowered, they're going to come into the revelation of sonship. But we need to see heaven manifested on the earth in another dimension to what it is right now, because mostly it is manifesting through us as gateways of heaven into the earth. The everlasting doors need to be opened so the King of Glory can come in a greater dimension. Son, there will be grace. We should begin this process next year. So this year, I believe we're going to start to see grace. But you must prepare the strategy in readiness. So don't just wait for things to happen. Engage for the strategies that will enable them to happen. Focus on equipping both in materials and in practice. So I'm looking to develop materials. I've developed materials and I'm actually practicing looking with ambassadors to engage the atmosphere, to engage, to begin to see things manifest on earth as they are in heaven. Begin engaging the heavenlies with the angelic realm, then focus on exploring the atmosphere to build up a profile. So getting an insight into how these things work. And I have done a teaching session, which very much opens up the whole realm of how you do spiritual warfare. In other words, now we operate in governmental authority, not fighting, but exhibiting and manifesting the rule of God to subdue and overcome. So what are principalities, powers, and rulers? It's important to know and be aware. How do they function? Through who do they function? Because it's usually influencing people on the earth. What is their strategy? Are there also earthly spiritual high places? Are there places on earth where these things are in cooperation, like counterfeit embassies of heaven? So are there things that are agreeing with the kingdom of God or agreeing with the atmosphere and the earth in that way? Because there are dragons and giants and kings that operate in the realm of the kingdom of God. We need to deal with them and expel them and take our places in that realm. That there are also places where the spiritual atmosphere and the earth are in agreement. Now, those are some of the things I think God is going to unveil so that we can deal with those things on the earth. So what are the prevailing cultural influences that create our beliefs? Because we are influenced by something. The world is influenced by something. We need to recognize that so our influence can be purely coming from God. Some are religious programming, governmental, judicial, social, medical, personal, trauma, coping mechanisms that we develop to live life. All those things have been influenced by something outside of ourselves that wants us to align ourselves with the atmosphere of the earth and live ultimately in fear. So we need to develop a new strategy to change the culture and affect the affairs of your spheres of influence. This is what God is saying to me. Develop a new strategy to change the culture and affect the affairs of your spheres of authority. Now that includes the Joshua Generation, the Engaging God Program, Freedom Apostolic Resources within what we're doing here. Equip my sons to be gateways of heaven into their spheres in grace and then see the river of life poured out. There will be greater grace and grace upon grace to prepare for mercy to be released into the earth in unprecedented measure with unprecedented harvest results. My judgment has brought about the end of the old Moses order governmentally. The justice that is currently being administered is the removal of the Moses mantle to end the mediatorial governmental systems of men. Justice is the beginning of a new order, the Joshua mantle, which operates by empowering, releasing, and encouraging intimacy, discipleship, and sonship in my children. All spiritual government on earth must be a reflection of heaven and be foundational for us to recognize it. This is the end of the old, the beginning of the new, and we're in the midst of that process. Grace releases Joseph mantles to create storehouses to receive the billionfold harvest of harvesters. Mercy releases the Jesus mantle for the final harvest, the mountain of the house of the Lord rising up through embassies of heaven, expanding and colonizing as the kingdom and the glory of God fill the earth. So as a result of that, you know, I tend to start making declarations. And when God speaks to me, it inspires me and stirs me and motivates me and calls me to do something about it. So where I'm seated in heavenly places, where I'm engaged in different courts of heaven, I tend to make a noise. I tend to outwork. I can't contain what God is saying and just think, oh, that's nice. It has to change me and motivate me and cause me to start to establish things in heaven so that those things can be established on earth. So I began in looking at, hey, we're going to deal with the atmospheres around us. I call for angelic protection around our spheres of government that none can penetrate, but all who are being drawn to heaven's sound and frequency will see the light of love shining brightly. Now, that, again, is a declaration for what God said earlier about dealing with atmospheres, that we need to be protected. I call for the Angels of Far, Freedom Apostolic Resources, which is a mountain of authority, to prepare the book, which I released last year, to reach people and places, to open doors that will unveil their open heaven inheritance and call people out of the wilderness into the promised land of their destiny. That's my desire for the book, to go to places that maybe our media, which is online, can't go to. So I want to encourage you to embrace the call of God on your life and begin to outwork that call by legislating and ruling and decreeing and declaring on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I'm going to make some more declarations which are more general, which you can embrace and you can receive. And I want to encourage you to embrace that. So I encourage you to close your eyes. I'm going to use different frequencies. I'm going to use some of the different crystal bowls to prepare those frequencies. So I want to encourage you to receive these calls and respond to them within your spirit appropriately so that you can embrace what God is doing and you can be part of it. And then you can make declarations that cause and stir you. I call for the love, light of love, to shine as a beacon in the darkness of our area to open blinded eyes to the light of truth. I call for the light of love to shine as a beacon into the darkness of our area to open blinded eyes to the light of truth. I call for the light to shine with the wavelengths of color that will be a beacon of hope to the lost, hopeless, broken and fragmented. I call for love's light to burn brightly with the heat of transformation to release those in the prisons of bondage, of addiction, self-harm, mental torment and lost identity. Now let that frequency go out to reach maybe into perhaps some of those areas in your own life, but reach some of those areas out into the world to call people out of darkness into light, to call people to come and experience the love of God. I call for the light of love to shine into the religious systems of man and draw out those who know there must be more than this. Let that cry touch their hearts. Let that cry come as a realization. There must be more than this. 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 I call for the light of love's true expression to unveil the reality of the true essence of the precepts of God, to restore love's truth, the truth of love's power, to never fail, never give up, and never separate. I call for the grace to bring true justice from the verdict that's ended the rule of the Moses generation mediators, where multitudes will gather in the valley of decision where the truth will be unveiled. I call for the unveiling of that truth. I call for the unveiling of that truth. I call for the unveiling of that truth. In the valleys of decision, multitude gathering, drawn by the sound of heaven released, the frequency of heaven. I release that frequency right now. I release that frequency right now. To call those who are still within the wilderness and under the systems of men in their religious coverings to know in their hearts there must be more than this. There must be more than this. Let that frequency, that sound of heaven's call go forth. I call for grace within justice to reveal the truth to a generation lost in the wilderness of religious constructs that have covered them with the restrictions and limitations of doctrines, theological lies, half-truths and deception. I call for the sons of God to arise out of the slumber of religious sleep and take their places in identity, position, and authority within heaven and on earth. I call for love's light to explode with revelation truth as love bombs, lightning bolts from heaven to penetrate the veils of deception and darkness of religious coverings to bring freedom, to bring freedom. I cry freedom. Let freedom's sound go forth. That the resonant frequency of heaven calling freedom, let freedom go forth. Let freedom go forth. I release the cry of the Father's heart for his children to be free, to arise as sons of the living God, to answer creation's groaning for full restoration into the freedom and glory of sonship. I call and release the sound of heaven, the cry of the Father's heart, for his children to be set free. Freedom, free to arise as sons of the living God, to answer creation's groaning for full restoration into the freedom of the glory of sonship. Let that frequency resonate within the atmosphere. Let it resonate within hearts and minds. Let it be a resonance of the Father's cry for freedom for his children. Let it go forth. Let it go forth. Let the sound of heaven be released and increase to touch the hearts and minds of the sons of God. God continued to say things throughout the year to me, and he said, "This son, you have heard and you have seen the desire of my heart, and you have responded to deep calling to deep." And this is so important that we realize that deep is calling to deep. This is the sound that's coming out of the heart of God. This is not being made up by man. This is people resonating with that sound. Deep is calling to deep. Now come to a new place of intimacy and allow my love to transfigure you into a forerunner of the age to come. There is so much more. I am calling those ambassadors of the age to come to take their places within wheels of the fabric of the unseen realms that hold all things together in harmony and balance. Son, rule well and equip others to rule. Seek for those who would be willing to lay a foundation of government. This is what I'm looking for all over the world. Call forth the groups of 10 good people who would be the foundation of the rising of a new order that will be ready for the harvest to come. We need those storehouses. We need those ecclesias. We need foundations based of a reflection of heaven, relationally establishing a foundation which would bear the weight that God would cause to come upon it as God adds. And we see that harvest come in. The mandates and blueprints for storehouses are being prepared to be released out of heaven into the earth. Storehouses with a relational foundation based on love, honor, transparency and openness, able to live in the dual realms of heaven and earth as gateways, are being called. Help establish the blueprints for the new order of this foundation with agreement between heaven and earth through the aligning of the order of Melchizedek, kings and priests, in heavenly agreement with the oracles and legislators agreeing on earth. Son, use the sword of the Spirit as a son. You know the plans I have for you, and that is your authority to deal with Destiny Robber. Now, Destiny Robber is a dragon that I've seen surrounding our area, but I've also looked into the atmosphere around the world, and this dragon or dragons, it may be an order, are actually robbing people of their destiny. They're robbing people by lying, deceiving, causing them to believe less than the truth of who they really are. So we need to take the power that we have as sons to deal with destiny robber in our own life? Are we being robbed of our destiny? Is there a less than? Are we believing the fullness of who we are as sons? Are we looking into the mirror of God's face and seeing reflected back that destiny? If we're not, we're being robbed. Destiny robber is affecting our lives. Let's rise up. Let's not be robbed. Let's take our places and let's deal with destiny robber in us and in any corporate settings that we're responsible for. For each of those who don't know the plans I have for them, your corporate identity and authority is diminished. So important. We need to know who we are if we're going to exercise that authority effectively. Continue to encourage people to seek me to discover their destiny and the plans I have for them. When you are one heart, one mind, and one purpose, your corporate authority will increase exponentially. Now, this is the importance of laying a relational foundation for every ecclesia, every embassy of heaven, to lay that foundation. One heart, one mind, one purpose. Relationally at working love. Honest, open, and transparent. This is a key. And this is when you look at the early church, there was something about this. This sense of love, this sense of oneness that they had. Acts 1:14, even waiting for the promise to be poured out upon them as Jesus told them to do. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Acts 2:42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking bread, to prayer. Acts 4:2-46, and day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. This was a relational outworking. Acts 4:32, and the congregation of those who believe were one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. Now, where do we think that lifestyle of the early believers, who were called the Way, by the way, came from? Where did it come from? Well, it's obvious, really. It came from the model of being loved by Jesus during their discipleship with him. He demonstrated that we're one, that everything here belongs to everyone, that we are here for the support and encouragement of each person within that, that he loved them, and now they were demonstrating the way of love to the world. Jesus demonstrated his relationship of being one with the Father and only doing the Father's will. And now the early church were taking on that model. Now there were challenges ahead. There was more revelation needed. Truth had to be imparted because they were in a transition out of the old into the fullness of the new. The old covenant, in one sense, had come to an end, but was actually sort of fading away, it says in Hebrews, because the temple was still there. The priesthood was still there. They were still carrying on as if God was still in the temple, when actually now he was in the new temple, which is us, the wineskin of the Holy Spirit, living and dwelling in us. Son, the theme of the power of unity and commanded blessing runs throughout history. Where two or three agreed, there was authority and opportunities, and this is still the truth. And the key to corporate power and authority. That's why we must establish relational foundations. Where there is one heart, one mind, and one purpose, I give the authority to bring fulfillment where mandates and blueprints are operating. Son, when you can find the common ground of agreement together with my heart and will and purpose, then nothing will be impossible for you. And that's what it is when we come together like that. We start to see the impossible happen. Son, embracing fire has always been key to maturity, maturing in sonship. Now, as I've engaged love, and as I've experienced love, I've also experienced fire. And to start with, I didn't see the full connection to that. I had experiences where I embraced fire, the judgment seat, the fire of his consuming eyes, the altar of fire in the temple. You know, I've experienced the river of fire and the fire stones. These were encounters which were real, powerful. But as God started to unveil the reality of love, then I realized that love and fire were synonymous. The Firestones and the River of Fire have been expressions of the process of coming deeper into an experience of love that facilitates maturity. Only as we're perfected in love can we be mature. Therefore, we need to experience fire, which brings the purification and refining that perfects us in love. Fire and love are synonymous within the heavenly realms, where there is nothing to be feared. The desire for my children to ascend into maturity did not begin after the fall, but was part of the plan from the beginning. There was always a plan for our ascension into sonship and into beyond that. The fire of my consuming love brings transformation. This was always intended to be a metamorphic process, just like the caterpillar and the butterfly or the tadpole and the frog, as seen in creation. Mankind was never intended to be just a one-dimensional being, but to become ascended fathers who would transcend the spirit and physical with convergence. Fire is love's expression and was never intended to become something to fear, but was always to be the crucible for maturity and glory. Creation itself thrives in the atmosphere of fiery glory and is groaning for the return of the light of love's glorious sonship. Sun, freedom emanates from fire and glory. That will result in bringing the liberty of sonship to creation itself. When my sons connect to the fabric of creation in glorious light, love will triumph over darkness and all separation and division will be no more. Son, it is the fire that produces the heat necessary for transfiguration to take place by breaking the bonds of the old to release the new. Fire is the birthplace of the new as it consumes the old. The new covenant heavenly Jerusalem fully came forth from the earth, old earthly Jerusalem in the fires of AD 70 when I came in loving judgment. The end of the old, the final destruction of the old covenant, old temple system. And people consider reestablishing it. It will never be reestablished. The one sacrifice, the one offering has been completed. There will be no more need, and there is no need for offerings and sacrifices. Now all God wants is relationship. All the sheep of the old fold are safely within the new fold and are one within the gates of Zion. The transitioning took place through fire for those who could have embraced the transformation available through the water baptism that was offered and rejected. But love won in the end, as love always overcomes. Now, we go through water, we can go through fire. The reality is, we will be baptized, we will be immersed, we will be submerged, we will be cocooned. If we embrace water in this dimension, that water effectively outworks change and transformation in our lives. But we can also embrace the fire, and there are those who are embracing the fire because they rejected the water. But the end result is the same. Nothing is more powerful to transform than love's consuming fire. The revelation and experience discovered by working relationally together with others will eventually become the foundations for the new order ecclesia that will come forth out of the wilderness of the old church functions. In other words, we're learning on the job. We're learning as we go. We have no manual to follow. We're following by engaging in intimacy with God and seeing that outworked in change and transformation. Transition is never easy. It's so much easier to establish something new than change something that's old into something new. But it's possible, but it's very difficult. And there will be fire needed and change needed and relationships to be outworked in reality if that's going to take place. Son, make way and make a way for others to follow. I woke up one morning with an old song, which was on March for Jesus many years ago, I believe, Make Way. And God told me to make way, to step out of the way of certain functions that I'm in, to allow others to come forth into those functions, and to make a way for others to follow. So by my example and through the teaching and the revelation and my experiences and sharing things like this Vision Destiny 2019, so that others can follow into that relationship, not follow me, but follow where I've gone into a depth of relationship and go beyond where I could ever be. To go deeper and deeper. As you make way, others will be able to grow and mature. Son, open doors for others and more doors will be open for you. Doors of opportunity are being knocked by many who we are waking up to the possibilities of sonship. God is at work, bringing a revelation that's going to remove all the veils of less than-ness to bring a revelation of the truth of who we really are as sons of God. I Am is calling many out of the shadows of others to be the light that will arise and shine in a world and universe where light is absent. That's you, calling you out of the shadow of others. You may be in other people's shadows. You may feel that you don't have what it takes. Remember, God would rather have an amateur in a new than a professional in the old. Step out of the shadow and be the light. The light of life is the light of love. And as my children begin to truly live loved, the light will arise and be seen. We need to know we're loved. We need to experience love so we can actually radiate that love ourselves. Love's true light is the only thing that can dispel the darkness of the human heart to reveal all that's been hidden from view. Love's true light is the only energy bright and powerful enough to radiate a frequency that can raise back to life the star systems and planets left void and empty because of the failure of my sons to ascend in light. The maturity of sons living loved will enlighten the created order as love's true light brings the hope and reality of the restoration of all things. Love's true light, risen and on display, is the mountain of the house of the Lord raised up and positioned for all to come to the light of its rising. True sonship is the only answer for creation's groaning for freedom, and love's true light is what true mature sons will radiate in transfigured glory. Love's true light can only shine from sons whose minds have been renewed to know the truth of their identity, position, and authority in heaven and on earth. Love is the light that needs to shine so that all my children can mature to live loved, love living, and live loving. Living sacrifices, embracing the cross, symbolized by the brazen altar within the heavenly tabernacle, through the veil of the way. So as we engage and step in through the veils of the way, truth, and the life, as we go deeper into the realms of heaven, as living sacrifices, we will be transformed by it. This is the place of entrance, crucifixion, exchange, to trade our lives for his life, old for new. Whenever we consciously enter with our soul, we come through the first level of the fiery sword, the cross, the altar where Jesus took our place, died our death, and gave us life. Exchange or trade takes place as we receive righteousness for sin, health for sickness, my old life for new resurrection life, sadness for joy, brokenness for peace, rejection for acceptance, futility for purpose, failure for success, barrenness for fruitfulness. All these things are exchanges based on what Jesus did on the cross. Engaging the mirror of the bronze laver, which is within the tabernacle, reveals the truth for the next level of the fiery sword within the tabernacle as the washing of the living word, which is Jesus. So the relationship with Jesus begins to effect change in us. The laver reflects back the state of the soul to reveal skins and external coverings of self, distortions of our image and identity through the lens of the DIY tree. Who do I think that you are? Who do you think you are compared to the truth of who he as the living word says you are? And this is so, so important that we really embrace who he says we are. What coverings of self-righteousness have we prepared for ourselves that are like filthy rags compared to the righteousness of God we are made in Christ? Is the washing of the living word Jesus? It is the washing of the living word Jesus. Now get hold of this, that makes us clean, cleansing our consciences from dead work. Hebrews 9:14. How much more will the blood of Jesus, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We must be cleansed from dead works. This is why love is so important in this process. This is why love is the key, because love shows us that it's unconditional and we do not have to work for it or try and earn it by our do-it-yourself efforts. Hebrews 10:19-22. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart, full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. This is the reality of when we come into the realms of heaven, when we go deeper into the realms of heaven, when we embrace Jesus, when we embrace the Father and the Spirit, it will be life transformatory. It will change us from one degree of glory to another, bringing us into the purity of sonship. So if we are to fully embrace our sonship and see the kingdom of God manifesting on earth as it is in heaven, we need to know our identity, take our position seated in the heavenly places, and use our authority to legislate heaven onto the earth. Let's embrace that. Will you embrace your call? Will you embrace the call as sons of God? Let the sons of God arise. Let the sons of God arise. Let the sons of God arise. Call for the sons of God arise. Let the sound of heaven, heaven's frequency, the frequency of love, call the sons of God to arise. Come out from under the religious coverings and veils of deception, of religion. Come into the light. Come take your places within the realms of heaven. Respond to heaven's call. Be seated in heavenly places. Start to bring government to the house of God. Start to take charge of the courts. Start to access the assemblies and councils of God as sons of the living God. Take your places. Let the sons of God arise. Let the sons of God arise. Let the sons of God arise. Let the sons of God arise.